Hey everyone, this is Dominique. If you're ready to do more with your life and money, I want you to stay tuned. Today we'll be covering 2017 investment performance and returns and trying to see if any of these returns will persist for 2018 and how you should use that information if you're investing in plans like your 401k or self-managed IRA. Stay tuned.
Are you tired of feeling like there's more to life that you're just not experiencing? Are you unmotivated by keeping up with the status quo? Are you ready to start living intentionally with your finances and creating the life you want? Get ready for Experiencing Financial Contentment with Dominique Henderson, a podcast focused on helping you create margin for the life you want to live by putting your money where your heart is. Each week, Dominique will help you explore the decisions you make around money so that you can achieve better results. Now, here's your host, Dominique Henderson.
Hey, so we're back. This is Dominique, owner and founder of DJH Capital Management, where we're helping our clients achieve their ideal financial outcome, and host of Experiencing Financial Contentment, where we talk about all things money. Financial literacy, personal development, economic empowerment, all the things that are going to help you move the needle towards the outcome that you want in your financial life. And I always like to say that financial contentment is all about putting your money where your heart is. So taking that little red pill to leave the matrix of the average and joining us in a community of people being intentional about what they do about their finances. So today is a very interesting show. We're going to talk about 2017 performance. And as I do with all investment podcasts, we're going to be talking about, when we talk about investments, I have to give the disclaimers that this is just informational, entertainment. That's the purpose of this podcast. There's no specific investment recommendations that would apply to you unless you're sitting down with a qualified professional to go over your plan. So with that out the way, what I want to do today, I have a couple of long-range goals. Let's get my notes up here. I am a note person, if you haven't noticed. So today we're going to go through a couple of websites that I use to and a couple of charts that will help you kind of see how to pick funds in your 401k. That's the first thing I want to do. I'm going to use two sources. And then I want to take a sample plan, a sample 401k plan, look at those choices and show you how you would pick a fund based on the information that I gave you in the very first in the first segment. And then we're going to look at the performance data and how you should pick maybe one large cap versus the other large cap instead of just throwing it all in one, and talk about some of the pitfalls. Lastly, talk about some of the pitfalls that you may come across when investing. So this is all about trying to maybe see if 2017 performance persists, how you can use that steam to put some octane in your own portfolio that's self-managed, your 401k or whatnot. So we're going to hop right into that. You know, I did not give me just a second here. let's do this. Let's go ahead and go with the screen that we got up here. I had another thing that I wanted to show you guys, and let's see if I can find it real quick. It's the JP Morgan Outlook. Maybe this is it. I'm going a little impromptu, so I apologize. This was the second report. I just didn't pull it up before we started today, so I apologize. Yes, this is great. Okay, so the very first thing I think to note is, so we had a pretty good year last year. You know, the Dow and the S&P both up over 20%, meaning that large cap equities did really, really well, as opposed to the end of 2016 when we had the change in the administration, where 2016 you had small caps just like take off, small cap stocks take off. And so there was really a rotation out of small caps into large caps, large cap equities, which is the reason why they were up 20%. And so all that to say, there's a couple of things that, you know, from a macro standpoint that I want to cover real quick. And you can obviously insert your own research and opinions into this, but just as an investment manager, I manage people's money. Some of the things that I'm looking at is the fact that we had such a great year last year. And if that can turn or return for us, another good year for 2018 remains to be seen. But I do have some takeaways. The first thing is, for the last, you know, since the recession, so going on, you know, 9 years or so, we've been having an easy monetary policy, meaning that the Fed, the Federal Reserve, has lowered interest rates to help people buy. So if you're thinking about the two ways that people consume things, they can buy for cash or they can buy on credit. And largely, a lot of our big dollar purchases are made with credit, like a house, car, things like that, even student loans, if you want to look at that. So from that standpoint, there's been easy credit. Interest rates have been low for a very, very long time, historically low, which means that you can buy more because the amount that you're going to pay for that, including the interest, is lower relative to when interest rates are higher. So that's one thing that the government has done. The government has done in order to incent people to continue to consume, which obviously consumer spending, more than 2/3 of GDP, makes GDP and the economy go north. Okay, so what I've noticed just recently with the tax law that took place on the tax law changes, tax law reform for 2018 going forward, they are changing now what is called fiscal policy. So monetary policy is all about interest rates and maneuvering that. Fiscal policy is about changing law, tax law specifically, right? So the government makes revenue by extracting taxes from the citizens. But the tax law actually does, it takes money out of the government's pocket over the next 10 to 20 years. And so it's very interesting to me as to why they did that when monetary policy seemed to be working pretty well. Why did they layer fiscal policy change on top of that with this tax law, which I'm not going to go into now. Maybe that's a subject of another podcast. If you want to talk about that, maybe put that in the show note, or I'm sorry, put that in the comments, and we'll talk about that later if that's something you guys want to talk about. But suffice to say, we now have a fiscal policy change that's going to basically incentivize consumers even more to consume. Even in, on top of the fact that we already had a good run in the stock market. So these things, to me, signal that change is on the horizon. Don't know when, but change is on the horizon. But as the subject of this podcast, let's make sure that you're able to take advantage of that as long as it's here. So let's go to the JP Morgan report. This right here is a good thing to consume. Just Google JP Morgan Market Insights 2018, and you'll get this report. But what I want to park on today in this podcast is, and I'm trying to see how big I can make this on my screen real quick. Okay, so what you have is there, this is a very, very popular chart. They do this every year. This is the last 15 years. This is through 2017. I'm just going to highlight this real quick, and you guys can look at this a little later. But this is a starting point. And the reason why I say it's a starting point is because they have it color-coded by asset class, which has done the best in the last 15 years, which is really good for you to just kind of look at trends as to what you want to put in your portfolio when we're talking about what should be in your 401k or self-managed account. So things like you can see color-coded here, large cap is in green. Has had some pretty good years. This is ranked descending to ascending, so the highest returns are at the top, the lowest returns are at the bottom. And so you can begin to see what composes good portfolios and good years or not. Obviously, this is the recession year, 2008. Just about everything got hammered except for fixed income, which is a sign that, you know, when equities get hammered, typically speaking, fixed income returns are opposite of equities. Not always, and we'll go over that in just a second. But all that to say that you can use a chart like this to kind of determine what asset classes should be composing your 401k. Okay, so now we're going to pivot, and I'm going to take you to Morningstar. So Morningstar, Morningstar.com, and I'll just show you how I got here. So you just go, let's just pull up a Google window because I'm already there, but I want to show you guys how to get there. So we basically say Morningstar, and then when Morningstar pops up, and this is all free. The stuff that I'm using is free. That way you can duplicate what I'm doing here. And they got this new website. It is so annoying to me. It's slow. So hit markets up at the top. And then scroll down to the bottom on the right. You can see all this stuff just pops up. They're trying to sell you stuff, so just ignore that part. Ignore all the sales pitches. Let's scroll down. Okay, I'm not in the same section because I think I clicked on something accidentally when that button came up. So markets, there we go. And then we're going to do fourth quarter review and data report, okay? As I said, I'm sorry. This is just ridiculous. So what's happening here is, I think, Morningstar does not want me to get to their report. Okay, there we go. I think my screen was just too big. I was trying to make it big for you guys. So this is just a commentary, Jeremy Gleiser. He's one of their, you know, analysts. We're just going to skip through all that and get down to the bottom. Jeez Louise, I'm having terrible internet connection problems here. Okay, so I'm going to make this big. So hopefully you can see that. So this is fourth quarter returns. Now, where are you going to use this information is what did well last year, right? That's what you're primarily using this information for. And you can see right now, U.S. equities killed it. They had a great year, as evidenced by the Dow Jones and the S&P that I cited at the top of this podcast. So 22% for large caps. The large caps are the things that you're going to find in the S&P and the Dow Jones. So those are mega market cap companies. So 5-10 billion. It just really depends on the source, but basically 5 billion and up in market cap is where you're going to be looking. And so then you can see mid cap, then small cap, and all the different sectors that did well. Now I'm not going to go through this because this would take a while. But as I like to do on these type of podcasts, what you need to do is go through and see, maybe just go through and highlight and circle the categories. Now, I'm going to tell you, once we get into how to pick these in your 401k, you're not going to have, it's likely that you're not going to have it broken down into sectors like a fund that focuses on energy or financial services. You're going to have just the big categories, which is called like style. Styles are like large, mid, small, large cap growth, things like that. Those are styles. And so you're going to largely have styles, as I'll show you in this plan that we're going to look through. So you're going to have to look at that because typically speaking, you're going to have probably somewhere between 20 to 25, maybe less than that. I've seen plans as little as maybe 12 to 16. So anywhere from 12 fund choices up to 25 or so. So you're not going to have the really granularity. Now, if you get into an IRA, which is probably the subject of a different podcast, you may have more choices. You're going to have the universe. But with a 401k, you're going to be kind of captive. And so you want to pick the styles that are going to be, let's say, good for you going forth. Now, so large cap did really well. So we're going to keep large cap in mind because that's what we're going to do. We're going to go through a large cap example. And so this is what this chart would be used for. So these are the two charts that as a beginner, you can really begin to just look at the numbers. It doesn't take a whole lot of stuff. I gave you some at the top of this, some macro things to think about, and you can do some more research on that. There's plenty of websites, Bloomberg.com, Morningstar has great stuff. All those different websites can give you a little bit more color on what I said about fiscal policy and monetary policy. But suffice to say, you have enough information now to basically say, okay, so what styles do I want to take advantage of since consumers are going to be buying more stuff, and that's going to put more revenue into the pockets of companies that sell stuff. More revenue means more profits. And if they pay less taxes on that, which is what the tax reform is about, basically taking their corporate rate from 35% to 21%, they got an extra, 14 percentage points of extra margin that they can now add to their bottom line. So theoretically, this should be good for companies. So with that premise, how do I pick this in my 401k? So what I did is I went to a source that I have that basically takes some of the largest 401k plans and breaks out their fund choices. I have not double checked this or fact checked this because I don't have any Bank of America clients. But this is one of the particular plans, Bank of America. So let's just go through the Bank of America 401k plan. And if you have a Bank of America 401k plan, by all means, let me know if this is inaccurate. So there's something I want to say real quick before we get started here about target dates. And there's a quote in Tony Robbins' Money Master the Game book, which I don't have in front of me right now. It's on the back shelf. But the point is this. You know, some people, and I've seen this before, they basically say, okay, I want to retire in 2035. And they put all their money in the 2035 fund. I'm going to tell you what I think about that particular situation. First of all, I think that's lazy. I think you're just basically what you're doing is saying, I'm just going to put it in this and I'm going to set it and forget it. And there's really not been, I guess, real good investment success around set it and forget it, because you have years like 2008. So let's just say you were doing the target date fund way back in the day before the recession, let's call it, you know, 2000, and you were going to retire in 2009 or 2008, and you picked the target date fund 2008 or 2009. How do you think that worked out for you? So that's the reason why I don't like target dates, because although fixed income and equities usually are opposites, equities go up, fixed incomes go down, and then vice versa, that does not always happen. And so I think with a target date fund, you're relying on a manager to basically pull you out of the market and take less risk by changing your allocation from a lot of equities to a lot of fixed income, regardless of what's happening in the market. It's not tactical at all in nature. It's just set it and forget it. And I don't know that that's the best strategy, because of years like the dot-com bubble bust in the 2000s. You had the European debt crisis. You've had the recession. You've had a lot of different things that could, unless you're taking a tactical approach in managing the portfolio, then you could be subject to a big surprise, especially if like your 2009 target date fund was what you were expecting to retire with. So all that said, let's look at this fund. So basically 27 fund choices. I'm not going to go through all these, of course. You have the different asset classes, which would basically be, or asset categories would be equity, fixed income, and I'll scroll down to show you fixed income, and then equity. So then, and then cash is usually included in fixed income. So of those three, how should you allocate your 401k? You got 100% 401k. How do I need to divvy it up, Dominique? Okay, so that's what we're going to go through right now. Now, remember that I told you we're going to concentrate on large cap. You just need to duplicate this for all the other categories within the fund. So, oh, I'm sorry, within your 401k fund. So let's just say you want to do equity and fixed income, and maybe you want to keep cash, but you would then pick out maybe 3 to 4 funds in, on the equity side, and then, you know, 1 to 2 funds on the fixed income side. It really depends on your fund choices. So let's say you want to do, what am I going to compose my large cap or my equity category of? What is my equity category going to have? So we want to concentrate on the, remember we went to the Morningstar and said that large cap is doing pretty good, right? So we're going to go to large equities and see how we should, which one should we pick? Because we got 4 choices here. We got the T. Rowe Price Institutional Large Cap. We got the Dodge and Koch Stock. We got the Vanguard Institutional. And forgive me, I just know these acronyms because I've been doing this a while. And then we got the BlackRock Equity Dividend. So those are 4 funds. And we would be like, do we want to pick all of them? You know, they got the stars on this side, which is Bank of America's, or maybe this website's opinion of this. So let me show you how to go back to Morningstar and plug this in. And I got to speed up just a little bit. So what you're going to do is you're going to basically pick up the fund, any one of the funds. Let's say you pick the T. Rowe Price one. All right. And you're going to put it in the quote box. And when your quote pops up, as I told you, we got slow internet here today, as if I'm in a third world country or something. And you're going to go down, scroll down. It could be that my screen, my resolution is so large here. We got 20-inch screens over here. All right, so performance. And I'm not going to go out there and do this number. That's another podcast. If you're like, Dominique, what does all that stuff mean? Put that in the notes or in the thread, and we'll talk about it. So what I want you to do is I want you to hit performance. I want you to hit customize interactive chart. Okay, and then you're going to scroll down, and the other thing I want you to do is, okay, so now you're here. You can click this off. You can take out the lot. You can put an X. If you hover right here, you can take this X out. These are just other stuff. So this is what the T. Rowe Price Fund has done. It hit maximum. That's over the last 10 years. I like to just do maximum. So since fund inception, this thing is up pretty huge, okay? But let me just tell you this. I've talked about this before. I'm going to go through rolling returns really quickly here. This is if, so all these funds, all fund managers basically do end of the month performance. And what this basically means is this is performance at the end of each calendar month. Well, it's highly unlikely that you're going to put your money in on the 31st or the 30th of the month and take it out again on that same date, which these returns that you're looking at right now reflect. What I like to do is I like to do what is called rolling returns. So no matter when I put my money in, and let's just do 60 months. I like to do 60 months. So from the period of, and this is how you read this chart, from the period of, maybe this is too little. Let's see. Try it again. Okay. From the period of December 2001 to November 2006, which is basically 5 years, my return would have been 6%. And that rolling return is calculated based on the fact that I may have put my money in at any time during the month during that period, and that would be my average return over that five-year period, which is a much smoother way to read performance on these charts. Okay, so hopefully that was clear enough, but we got to move on for time's sake. So what you would do is you would basically take your next fund, Dodge and Cox, and you would hit compare. There's Dodge and Cox, and we're going to throw Dodge and Cox in there. So Dodge and Cox has done a little bit better here over this early period, but now it looks like it's trailing the T. Rowe price here. Let's make sure that you guys can see it. Yeah, so T. Rowe price is beating there. So let's put the other guy in here. So we just layer this here, and we put the Vanguard one here. It's not pulling up for some reason. Okay, there we go. Vanguard. And Vanguard's even below. I don't know if you can see that. This little green line there is the Vanguard fund. Okay. And then let's pick, and we're going to go through the numbers in just a second and put this last guy in here. So these are my four large cap components. Don't worry too much between growth and value. Growth just means, growth means the objective of the fund manager is to grow the capital. Value means that they're looking at the best bargains. Blend means that they're trying to do a combination of both. And I'm trying to tell you right now, it really doesn't matter. That's really getting too far into the weeds. And then you put the other one in here. So BlackRock. So these are the four, and BlackRock is the trailing one. So let's look at just the last five-year period. So the end of this last year, from 2013 until this last year, it looks like 19% for T. Rowe price is my average rolling return. Dodge and Cox is 16. Vanguard is 15. And the BlackRock is 13. So I already see who's the best here from a number standpoint. Now, you can do some more research, obviously. You can look at, you know, how often they trade, which is turnover. You can look at their fund expenses and yada, yada, yada. But when you're looking at almost 300 basis points, 3 percentage points difference here, that's a pretty big win. Number one, if it were me, what I'd be picking is the T. Rowe price. That's the best fund. It happens to have the five stars here. So there's my large cap, and I'm out the way. Now, then I want to probably add some different funds. Now, mid cap, there's only two to pick from. There's only one small one to pick from, so you don't really have much choice there. But then you got to do the same thing for fixed income, and then you got to do the same thing for international equity. I would put an international equity in there for this reason. The U.S. equities, if you're talking about all global equities, U.S. equities only make up about 50% of the pie. The rest of it is international, and obviously emerging is included in international. So international developed markets and international emerging markets. So you want to expose yourself to all those asset classes. So I would do the same for those three up there. Not going to do that right now because we've far spent the time. But hopefully that's helpful for you. Now, I do have a resource for you since we're talking about 401ks. So Inevitably, we get stuff like a 401k rollover, which just basically means you've left one company and now you're going to have to invest in another company. It's 401k. And I didn't really get to this, but you do want to watch about the, I'm sorry, I'm scatterbrained here. So watch the amount of equity for the company, like Bank of America stock. If they offer that in their 401k, watch how much you put in there of just Bank of America stock. You've already got a lot of exposure through your paycheck. You may have your benefits through them. You're probably going to pick a fund that has Bank of America in it holding additionally Bank of America stock, you got to watch just how much you want to put in there. So just wanted to put that in there. But anyways, 401k, guys. So if you go to my website, djhendersonsr.com/401k rollover, what I have here is a guide. So these are five things that I've covered in a podcast before, but I put it in a little easy to read guide. So it basically gives you the five answers you need to know before you roll over your 401k, things that people don't really tell you in the administrator's office, unfortunately, and things like that. So I want that to be a resource for you. All you have to do is put your email address in there, first name, email. You can get a copy of that. My free gift to you, like I'm always trying to do, is give you free gifts as if you don't have enough of those for me. But hopefully all that's been helpful. Obviously, if you have any questions, 214-699-7599 is how to get in touch with us. Thank you for watching. Hope to see you back later. Bye-bye.